The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Now we go live to Athens for a press conference with Dogs head coach Kirby Smart. Presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union, Georgia Pack and Load, Anderson Power Services, Southern Link, and by attorney Ken Nugent.
Thanks, Claude. I'd like to say a quick hello to Coach Dooley. Appreciate him coming over. Always great to see him in the audience and also at practice from time to time. Good to have you, Coach. Got a text from Derek the other day. So it's good to hear from him as well, but appreciate you being here. We are on to Kentucky. You know, I think when you look at what Coach Stoops has been able to do, it's pretty remarkable. First off, he's a really good football coach. I've known him a long time, recruited against him. It seemed like we went head-to-head on a lot of recruits back in the when he was Florida State defense coordinator and I was at Alabama. But he is a tremendous coach, a tremendous builder of men. To see what he's done with the consistency in which they perform at such a high level. And, you know, I say it all the time, but to be a good football coach, you got to have all the phases, the recruiting phase, the organizational phase, the development phase, the three phases, offense, defense, special teams, and they are really incredible at all three. They have a great system set up that they recruit to, they develop guys. I mean, it seems like every year you're talking about their defense. And they're doing a tremendous job offensively this year as well with quarterback and transfers they've gotten have really added juice to their offense. And they've got a great special teams unit as well. So challenges ahead is for us, and I think our kids embrace that. And it seems like each week, last three, four, 5 weeks, we've had big games and we got another opportunity. That's why you come to the SEC to play in big games.
Kirby, I got a feeling I know the answer to this, but I got to ask it anyway. I mean, it isn't. You guys are number one. I mean, this is a plateau of sorts, and I know it's where you finish. But do you take any satisfaction or allow yourself a moment to, you know, appreciate where you've built the program in your time here?
It's just a number, right? I mean, I don't see a plateau. Not a whole lot different plateau. The goal is to be. Number one at the end of the season, you always know that. Everybody's goal is there. But to have an opportunity to do that, you got to be in the four. And that's the most critical part. So we won't get caught up in that, and we'll let you guys write about it. And that's not a burden we carry. The burden we carry is how we play.
Coach, let me be the first to ask you quarterback's questions. I know how much you enjoy him. Obviously, Stetson Bennett's playing really, really well at this point. What happens if JT Daniels checks out 100% this week? Do you make a change at quarterback, or do you keep things how they're going since they're going so well?
You know how I feel about hypotheticals. So it's just a hypothetical. I mean, we're trying to get JT back. He is much improved this last week at the end of the week. He had a really productive throwing session, I guess it was Thursday maybe. And then for the game, he was able to throw more than he was the previous week. We're going to try to let him throw some today, although today will be a lighter practice. Our guys have gone really six consecutive heavy weeks. So heavy, even on Mondays, we've gotten after it in some of the games that didn't go to the fourth quarter. We practiced pretty hard on Mondays. So today, that won't be the case. And we had a really physical two games in a row with the Arkansas game and the Auburn game. So there won't be so much we're able to get done today. But we'll look and see how he is and see where he is and see what he can do. That's always the case. But, I mean, I'm not getting into that. Right now I'm worried about making sure we got a healthy quarterback and keeping our quarterbacks healthy by keeping them upright and keeping them protected.
Kirby, looking back at the tape from Auburn, is there anything you took away from it that still needs to be improvement in those three phases you're talking about? And then what, just, you know, I know you're getting in heavy now to Kentucky, but what is the difference in that offense right now that's scoring a lot of points?
biggest difference is they've got a really great supporting cast. You know, they've got a quarterback that's really wise, really bright, great system in the play-action boots they do. And the quarterback is really good athlete, but he throws the ball really well, and he has weapons. You know, they've always been one of the most physical games, if not the most physical game we played in. And I don't think the rest of the world understands the physicality with which their offensive line has played with, their run game, and their defensive line has been enormous in terms of size, just different type than maybe you play against in an Arkansas or even Auburn. They strike blockers. They're similar to us defensively in the front mechanics they play and how they play blockers. So they've always been really great at stopping the run and running the ball. The added dimension now is the quarterback with the vertical passing game. Weapons they have outside obviously are different, and the backs are just so – they run so physical and so downhill. As far as the question about the Auburn things and areas of improvement, there's tons of them. I mean, there's so many things we can do better. And I think, you know, people look at the game and think of it as like it was some kind of blowout. The game really was not indicative of the score. It was a physical, tough, hard-fought game that if a couple plays in the red area go different, you know, it's a different ball game. So we got a lot of places we can improve on.
Kirby, by my count, you had about 14 to 15 players that you could not play at Auburn or who did not get in. That's not to count guys that are playing injured, you know, who are hurt, but who could actually get out there. Can you give us some updates on Jamari Sawyer, Chris Smith, Jermaine Burton? Any of those 15 would be good.
Yeah, if I knew exactly what it was going to be, I would love to give it to you. But y'all asked that question, and I really want to give you information, but I don't know because – All we've done since then is rehab, 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 and then another rehab, and then today is a lighter practice. So, I mean, the hope is that we're going to get those guys back. Chris had a shoulder that came out of place, put it back in. He didn't feel like he was 100% gaining his strength back. Ron would say he's seen guys that are back in a week from that. We'll find out where he is. He's one of the toughest people I've ever been around. So if Chris can play, he'll play. Jamari had a slight ankle. It didn't swell. Thought he could have gone back. He didn't feel like he was 100%, but certainly hopeful to get him back and be able to go. And so many of the other ones are soft tissue. You know, we're hoping to get Arian back, hoping to get Jermaine back. Rosamy looked good Saturday in warmups to me and probably could have played in an emergency. So we're thinking we're going to get him back. Not sure on Dom. Won't be on George. I don't know who else. It was just some other guys, but I don't. I won't know. I'll know a lot more Tuesday based on how they practice Tuesday. Kenny Mack's got a little bit of a hamstring. It never pulled, but it was one of those that was tight and bothering him. And we've been just treading lightly. You know, he warmed up and thought he was going to be able to go, and just didn't think he was going to be 100%. He covered a couple punts and things like that. So he'll be out there today repping, but I won't be able to tell you until we're full throttle what he'll be able to do. Yeah, Mears still got an ankle. He had an ankle last week in practice, and unfortunate because he's playing really good for us, especially on special teams units, and don't know if he'll be back.
Coach, I want to ask you about Kentucky's offensive line. Is this the best offensive line you guys have faced to date?
Yeah, for sure. They've got, I think, four draftable prospects. Guys going to go high in their tackle, transfer tackles, really good player. Center's a really good player. Fortner, I mean, they've always had a good offensive line. But they had a good offensive line last year, and I think four of the five or three of the five are back, and then the transfer from LSU is a really good player. So Kennard's one of the most physical guys we've ever played against. He is huge, long arms. They're committed to the run game and what they do. Very physical and really good team. And I think – you know, people don't understand that because they look at them last year and, you know, they didn't have a lot of the same weapons in the pass game. The quarterback wasn't a thrower like this guy is, and they got a really good team. So a lot of respect for how they play.
Kirby, I know you say you can't shield your players from much these days because of social media and that kind of thing. Will you address when you meet as a team, or did you text them about the number one ranking and just say, hey, guys, you know, keep it in perspective or anything?
Yeah, the focus is on us like it always is. It's about what we do, and it'll always be about what we do. It has nothing to do with the the outside world or the noise of the rankings, they're going to hear it. I mean, regardless, they're going to hear that regardless. They're going to hear something. So it's really what you control your thoughts on and what you put your priorities into. And I'm very honest with our team and the way they've handled things to this point, and they've handled practice well, they've handled leadership well, they've bought into the DNA traits of our team, and they've got to continue to do that because, you know, there's two ways you lose that. You can lose it through failure and people not buying in, and you can lose it through success, through people seeing themselves through a different lens and maybe thinking about themselves in a different way or being comfortable or maybe not comfortable with what their role is. So we've been able to avoid both those two things, and we got to continue to.
Kirby, it seemed like Auburn, you know, attacked y'all a lot with, you know, quick passes to the outside and that kind of thing. Is that something you noticed on tape and, you know, looking forward against Kentucky, you know, how do you sort of, I guess, guard against that, you know, with the guys you've got on the outside?
Auburn attacked us in a lot of ways. I mean, I thought they had a really good game plan in terms of keeping us off balance. You look at the first drive, you look at the drives they've had. If it's not for a couple red area stops, like I said, I don't think there's anything in particular about just quick passes to the outside. The game's not that simple. I mean, there's a lot more to it than that, involved with coverages, scrambling quarterbacks. But there's a lot. I mean, we got to play better on defense. We're not lined up. We don't have our hands in the dirt. We're in great shape. You know, teams are going to try to tempo us, and sometimes that hurts them as much as it hurts us. And we got to do a much better job executing our assignments. You know, fatigue makes you make mistakes. And we had mistakes on offense and defense Saturday that were not reflective of us. Things you guys might not notice that we notice. And it was warm Saturday. I didn't think either team was in great shape in terms of being able to play in those conditions.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Kirby, we saw a couple years ago the importance of returning receivers and healthy receivers like with Cager in that year's offense. This year, you're supposed to have all these receivers coming back, then you have all the injuries. You're still rolling with redshirt freshmen, true freshmen, and succeeding. How is that happening this year?
Well, I think spring practice, number one, was a big help because the guys who have contributed – we're here in the spring, and they got a lot of experience in the spring. Year two in the system for a lot of the other guys, guys that are playing. Obviously, Kieris is kind of a vet now. He's been in Munkin's system. Ladd's been in the system for really his second year. AD's been in the system for spring and fall. It allows them to be successful, and, you know, the run game allows them to be successful because some of the plays that we're hitting are play-action plays. And as long as they're able to honor that and be successful in the run game, and that's our goal is 5.5 a rush. That doesn't mean we're going to rush the ball for 5.5 yards a time, but if we can be effective and stay ahead of the chains, it allows us to be effective in the play-action pass game. And I think the play-action pass game has helped our lack of depth in receiver succeed, along with our depth at running back and tight end. You know, there was, 20%, 30%, 40%, I don't know what it was, snaps that we had 13 in the game the other day. So that's three tight ends. And fortunate we've been able to get guys back there and be a little more healthy to take some of that burden off the wide receivers.
Hey, Kirby, you talked about the next man up mentality on Saturday. Dan Jackson, you know, he kind of embodied that on Saturday. How do you feel about how he performed against Auburn and then moving forward?
Dan practices really well. He's a guy you can count on because you feel like you're going to get from Dan what you see in practice, what you're going to get in the game, because he puts everything into every practice. And that's what allows him to be successful, because Dan's a really tough, hard-nosed player, and he understands our defense, and he can play multiple positions. And I was really proud of the way he went in and played Saturday. But, you know, he plays better the people in front of him play. So it puts a lot more burden on our front seven to play at a high level to make sure that Dan plays well.
Coach, talking about the run game, can you talk a little bit about Zamir White and James Cook, too? But Zamir in particular, it just feels like he's really getting the job done, scoring a lot and seems to be in there in a lot of big moments.
Yeah, he's an extremely physical runner. He's, 100% for probably the true first time where he feels really good. He had an incredible offseason. He didn't have the interruption of COVID coming off a knee. I mean, you feel like he's hitting stride where his acceleration, his burst, his pass protection, his breaking of tackles, his yards after contact have been really good. And I feel the same way about James. You know, those two guys are heart and soul of our, at least our offense. And how they go sometimes is how we go. And there's not always a bunch of big holes. They manufacture runs and keep us on schedule, I would say. And their leadership, more than their play, has been one of the key components of this team.
Kirby, last time, y'all assumed the number one ranking in the middle of the season. You remember you started that game against South Carolina with an onside kick, and you said after the game, you want to still be aggressive, be the hunters, all that kind of stuff. Is that something, did you learn anything from that week about keeping a team aggressive and hungry, even when they've, reached the top of the rankings?
I really don't remember anything about that week. I mean, you telling me that is the first reminder I've had of it. I didn't know when or that happened. It's just not really relevant. You guys need a story, write it all you want, but it's just – it has no relevance whatsoever for us, because it's all about how we practice and what we do. Do you worry about the psyche of guys reading it and looking at it like was discussed? I mean, yeah, you got to do a good job talking to your guys and keeping them grounded, but that's part of what we've been working on for 10 months around here.
Kirby, what would you say are the core criteria for what you're looking for at receiver now at Georgia? And on the recruiting trail, and how has that evolved since you've been the head coach at Georgia, in your mind?
I don't think it's changed much. I mean, you want to be explosive, so you need fast, size, speed guys. Unfortunately, there's not but a handful of 6'4", really fast, really physical, explosive players. So you have to have sometimes exceptions, right? And it's his exception, his character. It's his exception, his work ethic. It's his exception, maybe, his bulk. I mean, there's all these criteria, and we have them listed for every position. But size is important. Munkin really believes in the ability to go vertical and stretch people vertical. And that might not be just speed. That might be your ability to win 50-50 balls, your intelligence, your ability to play multiple positions. There's a lot that goes into playing receiver at Georgia. And we don't want all cookie-cutter guys, right? We don't want every guy to fit the same mold. So we have a definition of an X, a definition of a Z, a definition of an F, and we want to be able to be three deep at each one of those. And that requires nine guys capable of being able to play. And, right now we don't have that. We're below those numbers without any injuries, just sheer numbers we're down. So we've got some guys that are going to compete and go out there and play, which is what we challenge people to do. And next man up mentality is there, but it's also kind of our resiliency. Like, we have this word in our core trait that one of them is resiliency. Well, that's what we show when the next guy's got to go out and play, because we're resilient.
Kirby, you challenged the fans before the Arkansas game to show out at noon, and I think it's safe to say that was effective and they were really loud. Do you have anything you want to say to them this week?
I mean, yeah, it's always the case, right? I think this game speaks for itself, what it means, who we're playing, what the rankings are, what's at stake, when you talk about the East. So I think our fans are educated enough to know the importance of this one, and their impact could be the difference in the game. And I don't think sometimes they acknowledge that because they think that, you know, everything's going to be easy and it's going to be home. And you can't think that way. You can't be apathetic as a fan and think that, oh, well, you know, we're Georgia. That's not the case, because this is a high, high quality football team, and we need the extra advantage of playing at home, just like we had to go up against it last week going to Auburn. So we need that same advantage this week.
Kirby, you've talked a couple times already this season about being kind of thin in the defensive backfield. Amir's hurt. Chris Smith is banged up now, and you're uncertain there. How does maybe getting Ty Key back help you, especially at safety or you know, dominant or musical chairs there, to try to figure out, you know, depth and where can he help you guys? Can he play safety too, or is he kind of nickel? How does that work for you guys?
Well, he's a star that we rep at safety when we go regular, and there's no nickel on the field, so he knows some of the safety stuff. But it wouldn't be fair to say coming off injury, go learn this new position. Breeny is a cross-trained, and Breeny works at safety, so. Both Breeny and Bullard give us flexibility because we think Javon Bullard's a really good football player, and he's growing up day by day, and he was playing a good bit. And we're going to be able to work Breeny and Bullard both at safety with Tyke repping at star as well. But doesn't mean Tyke's going to be the only star, because right now Dan's playing safety. So we have to cross-train. We got four safeties that we feel like can go in the game and play, and we feel like we got two or three stars that can go in the game and play.
Take two more questions.
Kirby, can you speak a little bit about the confidence that Stetson had to have gotten from going into Auburn, playing so well, and what that means to you? You know, as you said, he played really well last year, and all that some people remember are the few picks here or there. But, again, talk about what his confidence performing so well can mean for the team moving forward.
I don't think the team has ever lacked confidence in Stetson. There's no like question mark there. I think to each his own. Everybody has their own opinion of what Stetson is or isn't. Within this team, there's a belief that Stetson's a really good football player and he's a winner, and he's done nothing to show us otherwise in terms of his toughness, his competitive nature, the embracing of the offense, the embracing of the role to stay here and compete when for a while there he was a three and not getting as many reps. So I'm very pleased with the way he's handled things. I think him playing well at Auburn really has more to do with the outside circumstance, because he went on the road last year and played in some tough places. He didn't play in that kind of crowd noise. And, you know, he should be given kudos in managing and effectively managing the offense to no penalties. I mean, to go in that environment and play and not have penalties, number one, give Matt Luke, Todd Monken, Dale McGee, Cortez Hankton, Todd Hartley a lot of credit, because that's hard. I mean, go watch all these other teams play on the road. It's tough, and that to me is incredible. But Stetson had something to do with that, because he's got to function, he's got to manage. And it's not to say we didn't have mistakes, we did, but it should give him confidence, because he already had confidence in his ability to play. He played in a tough environment and handled things really well.
Kirby, seems like a lot of the national attention is on Jordan Davis, Devontae Wyatt, some of those guys, but it seems to me as a layman, Jalen Carter has been very, very impressive through six games, tons of quarterback hurries. Can you give us some insight into what he means to your defense and some insight into his recruitment and how that went down?
Yeah, he's a tremendous athlete. He's one of the best athletes at that size I've seen. And obviously, I mean, we talk about Jordan's size is his extreme, like, exception. Jordan's huge. Jalen is not – he's big. Now, he's just not overly freakish big. He's a really good athlete. He has extreme quickness, suddenness, change of direction. He can finish and make plays like an athlete. Just a really good combination of Devontae and Jordan is Jalen, and he has played well, and he's got to continue to work to get better. Those guys are at another level when it comes to being able to execute and being understanding how to play the game. Jalen's still learning, and he's making plays because he's talented, and we got to continue to grow him because he can make us a better football team.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I
treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.